The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Baba Yakubu.
In the headlines, Speaker of Parliament to be sworn in as acting president in absence of president and vice president. Best Teacher Award launched. Director of National Cardiothoracic Center appeals for support to the Heart Foundation to help save lives. Government urged to upgrade regional hospitals to status of teaching hospital. And new Iranian President Hassan Rouhani to negotiate uranium enrichment program with the West. First, a summary with Baba Yakubu.
The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Do Ajahu, will be sworn in this morning as acting president in accordance with Article 62 of the Constitution. The situation has arisen due to the official trip of the president to Bamako, Mali, and his vice president taking a three-day break. This year's Best Teacher Award has been launched in Accra. Education Minister Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyemai, who performed the launch, said the role of a teacher in providing quality education is critical and central. Teachers should therefore remain committed to their divine profession because government and civil society so much appreciate their work. An appeal has been made to the public to donate to the Ghana Heart Foundation to save the lives of patients who are suffering from various heart cases. The director of the National Cardiothoracic Center, Dr. Lawrence Rebo, who made the appeal to Radio Ghana, said no contribution is small, as little contributions go a long way to save the lives of many. And President Hassan Rouhani of Iran says he has full authority to negotiate with the West over Tehran's uranium enrichment program. Speaking to the media, Mr. Rouhani described a recent letter sent to him by U.S. President Barack Obama as positive and constructive. He, however, maintains that his country would never build nuclear weapons.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. President John Mahama will today leave Accra for Bamako, Mali, to participate in the swearing-in of Ibrahim Boubacar Keita as president of that country. A statement from the Flagstaff House Communications Bureau says in the absence of the vice president, Kwesi Bekwi and Mr. Arthur, the Speaker of Parliament, Edo Ajahu, shall, in accordance with Article 60(12) of the Constitution, act as president. President Mahama is expected back today. This year's Best Teacher Award has been launched in Accra. Minister of Education Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Ajiman, who performed the ceremony, underscored the role and importance of the teacher in the provision of quality education. She said this government so much cherish the contribution of teachers to national development and will continue to express this appreciation, a gesture which is not extended to any other public worker. George Ankara interviewed the launch and has filed his report.
The short but impressive ceremony was attended by some ministers of state, members of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Education, officials of the Ghana Education Service, representatives of teachers' unions, and sponsors of the awards. Education Minister Professor Nana Jane Opokuagyemai said quality of education in Ghana will be enhanced if the teacher respects the official stipulated instruction time in teaching. She said the ministry and the Ghana Education Service have clear guidelines for charging other fees and urged heads of institutions to observe these guidelines. Professor Opokuagyemai believes if proper supervision is done in schools and instruction time is observed, there may be no need for extra classes. She also cautioned teachers against strikes, saying teachers may have a good case in their demands, but the method of presentation is often the problem. She congratulated the sponsors and government on sustaining the awards for the past 19 years. The chairman for the launch, Mr. Diop Frimpong, also congratulated teachers on their critical role in career and nation building. He thanked colleague sponsors for sustaining the teachers' awards and asked teachers to continue to exhibit commitment in their central role of molding the human resource base. Deputy Director General of the Ghana Education Service, Stephen Edu, in his welcome address, paid glowing tribute to Ghanaian teachers, particularly the committed ones, for their great sacrifices over the years. He, however, raised concern about the negative attitude of some teachers who indulge in absenteeism, saying they will be sanctioned. Sponsors such as Kludesin International, EPP Bookshop, Sam Wood, SIC Life Company, RLG, NIB, Metropolitan Pensions Trust, SEDCO, Unimax, Afram Publications, among others, donated juicy prizes for their awards. The grand ceremony will be held on the 25th of October in the Upper East region.
You heard George Anker's report.
General Manager of the Graphic Communications Group, Yabuedu Ayebuafo, has asked government, the GES and the Ministry of Education to review the situation where students who take the BECE fail in subjects and are prevented from rewriting the papers. He told Radio Ghana that the system is unconstitutional and discriminating and must be changed.
This is just the beginning. Why do we overburden them at this level when we know that when they grow, there are better opportunities for them? So I think that it is unfair and unjust. And we are destroying our youth from their very, very formative level. And the danger may one day come back and haunt all of us. And we need to do something quick about it. I know that at some point when, as editor, we wrote about it a number of times. There was once that they allowed them to do their research, and then they stopped. I don't understand.
What exactly should we do about it? Because if you do not change the module now, why would my daughter fail one paper and then they will have to ask her to write all when she has passed the rest? What message are you giving the authorities?
Those who are rewriting, there's no direct formal request of that nature. Because whether your daughter write all, this example that you are giving, that the child is to write off. Where is that child to write off? Is there any opportunity or any avenue for that child to be enrolled to write the term at all? You know, they should allow the children to recite like they do for all other categories of examinations. Why is it that when you finish your BEC, the opportunity is closed on you?
Yabuedu Ayebuafo on the need for the GES or the Ministry of Education to create opportunity for BECE graduates to receive their papers.
There have been mixed reactions to initiatives by the GES and the West African Examinations Council, WAEC, to retrieve school fees owed by candidates of this year's WASI. GES and WAEC have blocked results of candidates who owe their respective schools from accessing the examination results. Even though all the headmasters who spoke to Radio Ghana and Kumasi lauded the decision to retrieve the amounts, they say the initiative has not yet yielded the desired results. The headmaster of the new Edubiasi Senior High School, Daniel Bafoewa, described the blocking of access to the results as very good in view of the number of his candidates who still owe fees. Even though he refused to quote the number of candidates owing and the amount involved, Mr. Bafoewa noted that the amount is huge and disturbing for the effective and efficient running of the school. He hoped that the decision would compel the concerned parents or guardians to go to the school to offset their indebtedness, saying that some of them have already taken steps to pay the money. The headmistress of the T.I. Ahmadiyya Girls Senior High School at Asokori in the Sechere East District, Madam Aisha Bwachi, said the final year students' indebtedness to the school was occasioned by the release of candidates' results online that made it easier for all the candidates to check their results without recourse to their former schools.
The director of the National Cardiothoracic Center, Dr. Lawrence Rebo, is appealing to Ghanaians to make conscious efforts to donate to the Heart Foundation to help save lives. He said little contributions will go a long way to save many people with heart conditions. Dr. Siribo noted that government alone cannot shoulder such responsibility. Therefore, the public must show strong commitment because anyone can fall prey to any clinical condition.
I won't say that it's becoming more expensive. It is known that having heart surgery is expensive. It has been expensive right from the beginning. As I say, beyond the reach of the average Ghanaian. But actually, worldwide, Ghana is one of the places where heart surgery is relatively very, very cheap. Unfortunately, not many Ghanaians can afford it, even at this relatively cheap rate.
Has government ever come in to support in any way?
Well, of course. I mean, remember, we are all Ghanaians and government supports the center. Recently, there's been a lot of equipment that the government has upgraded and brought it to the center. Again, remember, we work at the center, we are paid by government. These are all inputs for the government. But when it comes to heart surgery, I think we must all come together to find answers to funding it for our people.
You mentioned the Heart Foundation. How often do you get assistance from the foundation?
Well, presently, every Ghanaian that undergoes heart surgery is sponsored 50% of the cost by the Heart Foundation.
And what has been the public response to providing assistance for this cause?
Well, you know, Ghanaians are very benevolent. They've been trying their best. Unfortunately, it's still not enough. We always ask for more. I always say that if we have 1 million Ghanaians contributing the cost of one bottle of mineral a month to the Heart Foundation, we'll have enough funds to cater for all Ghanaians. So Ghanaians have been trying. They've been very, very kind donating to the foundation, but we still have not got enough. It looks as if the attention is dwindling. We hope to instigate people, get more people to donate to the foundation, and then funding of heart surgery will be quite easy.
Director of the National Cardiothoracic Center, Dr. Lawrence Uyebo.
Meanwhile, High Life musician Kwabena Kwabena said he is touched by the plight of heart patients and will regularly organize musical concerts to raise funds to help. Speaking on Behind the News, the musician said patients must be helped to meet the cost of treatment, which many a time is beyond them. He said he would use a musical concert to appeal to the affluent in society to support a worthy cause.
I'd say if you listen to what doctor said, you realize that you'd be struck, I mean, as a normal human being, that if you have anything you need to do to support, you'll be thinking of what to do, and that's what happened to me, and there's nothing I could do but to be there with a band and do some performance, play music, and entertain benevolent individuals who would want to support. You know, so that's the reason why me and my team put together this concert next month on the 19th to raise funds to support such.
Of what form is this concert going to take, and who are the other artists that will join you on stage?
God being so good, I've been able to speak to a few of my friends, but there are others who are also calling to be part of it. So we will be entertaining all those who purchase a ticket. And be at the State Banquet Hall. We'll be entertaining you with a beautiful live band music. I mean, lots of performance. Funny Face will be there, Sakodi will be there, Becca will be there, Fia will be there, OJ will be there. You know, a host of them, I mean, lots of them.
That was High Life musician Kwabena Kwabena.
The Greater Accra Regional Director of Health Services, Dr. Linda Van Otu, says Ghana's chances of attaining the MDG goals on maternal and infant mortality will be a mirage if maternal and child health centers are not adequately equipped. He said lack of the right and adequate equipment in these centers hinder the proper care and services needed by pregnant women and newborns. Dr. Van Otu expressed these sentiments when the Regional Health Directorate took delivery of $2.4 million medical equipment donated by USAID in Accra. Irabna Paha has more.
The donation is part of a four-year plan by the USAID to improve the inventory of life-saving medical equipment at all levels of the health system. Director of the USAID Focus Regional Health Program, Dr. Edward Bonku, said USAID has invested $40 million in the Central, Western and Greater Accra regions over the last 4 years to improve and build a stronger health system through the provision of training, grants and drug supply. Greater Accra Regional Minister Julius Debra, who received the equipment on behalf of the Regional Directorate, said the equipment has come at a time when government is working towards the improvement of health facilities in all the regions.
The population of Greater Accra is escalating. Currently, we're hovering around 4 million and it's still going up. Maternal issues is of very importance to us as a people and as a government. So any assistance that goes in that direction is very, very welcome. I know and trust the regional health directorate that sure that these equipment are put into good use. This region, when you entrust any equipment into their care, they take good care of that.
The equipment are blood refrigerators, trolleys, weighing scales, theater beds, among others.
Irabna Paha reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Speaker of Parliament to be sworn in as acting president in absence of president and vice president. Best Teacher Award launched. Director of National Cardiothoracic Center appeal for support to the Heart Foundation to help save lives. Government aired to upgrade regional hospitals to status of teaching hospital. And new Iranian President Hassan Rouhani to negotiate uranium enrichment program with the West.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
And the news continues. The Deputy Director in charge of Finance and Administration at the Department of Urban Roads, Philip Latte, says African Automobile Limited, AAL, supplied vehicles to the department under a World Bank project in 1995. According to him, the World Bank paid 90% of the cost of the vehicles, but could not tell whether the government paid its component of 10% to AAL. He pleaded for more time to search for information on the case. Mr. Latte said this when he appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission at the Old Parliament House in Accra. Here's a report by Ernest Obeni.
The Deputy Director in charge of Finance and Administration at the Department of Urban Road, Philip Latte, and the Board Chairman of African Automobile Limited, AAL, Muhammad Hijazi, who doubles as the Chief Executive Officer of the company, appeared before the Commission. They appeared in respect of some vehicles supplied to some state institutions in 1995. Mr. Latte said the Department of Urban Roads took delivery of some vehicles from AAL under a World Bank project.
Well, within our department, there was an occasion when African Automobile actually supplied some vehicles for under a World Bank sponsored project. I think probably the date was probably in some way the 1995 region, for what I can recollect with information from other officers, that those vehicles were, as far as we know, were fully paid for under the World Bank. It was a World Bank project, and they supplied the vehicles, and they were fully paid for. I have a very heavy recollection that at the time, this project was funded in two parts. The World Bank funds about 90% of the cost of the project, and the 10% is financed by the government of Ghana or through the Ministry of Finance. As far as we were aware, we know that the World Bank fully paid up his portion of the supply costs for the vehicles, and it's rather like that. This portion which is in question might be the 10% which the government of Ghana probably owed at the time.
The Chief Executive Officer of African Automobile Limited, Muhammad Hijazi, presented judgments it had in respect of cases on the vehicles the company supplied to some state institutions. He also tendered in audited accounts and tax returns of the company from 1995 to 2012.
That was Ernest Obianim's report.
The leader of the United Renaissance Party, Kofi Wayo, has called for a special team of auditors and accountants to dig deep into the sale of a GNPC drilling ship. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Wayo said those involved in the sale should be arrested and prosecuted to serve as a deterrent to other public officials.
This whole thing started in 98. When the NPP took power in 2000, I briefed Peter Alagiri about it. And what I found out is the first thing he did was to try to see how he can get the money. But the people involved in this, Ken Dapa, KT Hammond, you know, they don't know nothing about finance or energy. Yet Kufuor put them there. They just came to make some money. Societe Generale, they told you they don't have any records. That's a lie. There's a different way to have approached this whole time, and you would have got the best results. But see, we don't have anybody in our system who understands these things. They just have degrees and titles. That's all.
You're talking about an approach to address this issue. What is the approach?
Well, you need a grand jury, special team of auditors, accountants, and special lawyers who can dig into the system and find out what happened to the money. But they know that they can get away with it because everybody came to loot. They don't know that this money could help school kids. A lot of people walking around with a hole in their heart, hundreds of them. So these people don't care.
How do we get the money back? What is your suggestion?
If you're serious, you arrest these people. They divide it between MPP and NDC, and it dies off. So criminals are in the system all the time. They have no fear of being arrested.
So what are you telling government now?
The government got to show some muscle on behalf of the poor people of Ghana. Arrest these guys.
Now that Societe Generale is saying that they do not have any documents on the sale, why are we not believing them? Who did they sell the ship to?
You see, the Africans, they're not interested in details. They like titles. In John Mahama's administration, want to fight for Ghanaians now. They should arrest K.K. Hammond, Kandahar, and even Kufuor himself.
Kofi Wayo on the sale of GNPC's drilling ship.
The National House of Chiefs has strongly condemned a recent media report alleging that some of the members of the Supreme Court panel who heard the 2012 presidential election petition took bribe to dismiss the case. A statement signed and issued to the media in Kumasi by the Vice President of the House, Awolayi Atibrukusu, notes that the National House of Chiefs takes strong exception to the publication attributed to the New Free Press newspaper, since it is an attack on the dignity and integrity of the chieftain's institution. Such publications, according to the statement, are an affront to the Menshia Palace, and as well as bringing disrepute to the Asantehene, the President of the Republic, as well as the Supreme Court of the land. It cautioned all media houses to avoid any reportage and discussion which tend to denigrate chiefs.
A sensitization workshop for customs officers on timber trade regulations and the voluntary partnership agreement has been held in Accra. It forms part of awareness creation programs being undertaken by the Forestry Commission for export-related agencies. The executive director of the Timber Industry Development Division, Dr. Alhassan Atta, in an opening address, expressed the need for strong collaboration between regulatory agencies in the production and trade in forest products. He lauded the Customs Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority in getting the Forestry Commission hooked on to the Ghana Community Network. In a presentation, the Director Timber Validation Department of the Forestry Commission, Chris Bequin, highlighted challenges envisaged in the insurance of legality licenses.
We are going to implement a system that issues what we call the legality licenses to the European Union, because that's what the agreement says we should do. For the consignments going to Europe, it will be called flag licenses. But for the consignments going to other parts of the world, they are going to have the same quality of legality, but they will not be called flag licenses. So there's going to be, just on the face of the documentation, a little difference between what we are taking to the EU and what we are taking to the other parts of the world. But I should mention that all consignments leaving Ghana will have the same quality of legality. Our challenge now in issuing these legality licenses is in completing all the processes required in the agreement to be able to have a system ready to issue the licenses. We are working on it. We have set timelines for ourselves. We've told the international community that we are hopeful that next September everything should be in place. So if we talk about challenges, to me, it is mostly how are we able to follow through on our time commitments to be able to meet this timeline. Things are progressing, but with all projects of him, there's need to be cautious. And we trust that by September, hopefully, we should be ready to issue this flag license.
A resource person, Henry Coleman, stressed the need for stronger collaboration between the various agencies in the timber trade business.
There's a meeting between the Timber Industry Development Division of the Forestry Commission and the Customs Assess and Preventive Service of the Ghana Revenue Authority. We see customs as partners, but key partners in the regulation of the export of timber and timber products. As an institution, talking of Timber Industry Development Division, we are mandated to issue export permits for the export of timber and timber products. And I think that is the last documentation we do before customs provides the release for the shipment of such products. In that way, we think that we must be talking to customs for them to know our procedures, our regulations, and then the laws governing the export, the timber export trade.
That was a resource person, Director of Operations of the Timber Industry Development Division of the Forestry Commission, Henry Coleman, speaking at a sensitization workshop for customs officials on the voluntary partnership agreement.
A former board chairman of the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital, Reverend Professor Andrew Seth Aite, has asked government to upgrade all regional hospitals to the status of teaching hospital. He also wants all district hospitals to be upgraded into training centers, while the Kwalibu Polyclinic be upgraded to the status of a general hospital. This, Professor Aite believes, would help cater for all the health needs of Ghanaians. He said the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital has over the years paid its dues to Ghana despite the many challenges, and stressed the need to develop the hospital into a well-equipped specialized center comparable to others in the world. Reverend Professor Seth Aite said this at the 90th anniversary lecture of the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital in Accra.
The Vice Dean of the Parliamentary Press Corps Corporation, Emmanuel Edutamra, has described Issa Shaibu as a fine gentleman who did not play with his work. In a tribute, Mr. Edutamra says Issa Shaibu cannot be forgotten in parliamentary reportage.
My condolence to the family of my friend Issa Shaibu. I came to know Issa Shaibu far back in the 90s. When he was introduced to me by a friend. He was then in Kumasi. But when we all met in Accra, I was first and asked my newspaper, the Daily Graph, to cover Parliament. So I was a bit far ahead of him in Parliament here. But when he joined me here, I clearly got to know the sort of person that Peter Shaibu is. He was a very disciplined person and respected everybody. Mr. Shaibu was very respected. Everybody in the corps looked up to him. I remember because of the way he behaved when we were conducting our elections, we made him the electoral commissioner, and he showed the sort of person that he is. God is shocking me. But I'm short of words. I'm even crying now as you are interviewing. We received his, the news of his death with heavy heart.
That was the Vice Dean of the Parliamentary Press Corps, Emmanuel Edutamra, paying tribute to the memory of Issa Shaibu.
Now to look at what's happening on the foreign front. Iran's new president, Hassan Rouhani, has said that his country would never build nuclear weapons. Mr. Rouhani also told the media that he had full authority to negotiate with the West over Tehran's controversial uranium enrichment program. He described a recent letter sent to him by U.S. President Barack Obama as positive and constructive.
More than 100 people have been arrested for public violence and looting foreign-owned shops during protests in Port Elizabeth in South Africa. Police say the situation in some of the townships in Port Elizabeth remains tense but stable, with police still maintaining a strong presence. Spokesperson for the police said police were engaging with various parties involved to offer assistance to those who have been left destitute by the violent protests.
Now to end the main points again. The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Duajaho, will be sworn in this morning as acting president in accordance with Article 60(12) of the Constitution. The situation has arisen due to the official trip of President to Bamako, Mali, and his Vice President taking a three-day break. This year's Best Teacher Award has been launched in Accra. The Education Minister, Professor Nana Jane Opokwajiman, who performed the launch, said the role of the teacher in providing quality education is critical and central. The director of the National Cardiothoracic Center, Dr. Lawrence Sirbo, is appealing to Ghanaians to make conscious efforts to donate to the Ghana Heart Foundation. He made the appeal through Radio Ghana. And Iran's new president, Hassan Rouhani, says his country would never build nuclear weapons. Mr. Rouhani told the media that he had full authority to negotiate with the West. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Barbara Yakubu in Accra.